25 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, and that tune, by the way, Holding Out for a Hero, could apply to my very special guest this afternoon. His name's Barry. You know him, Barry Chapman from Chapman Plumbing. How do you know him? Well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you would have heard his ad playing literally after every news bulletin, because Chapman Plumbing is the sponsor of our afternoon news broadcast, and also one of the kind of faces, Barry's certainly, that generally gets behind good things, good causes. He's part of the Bolito infrastructure, and now he's on the afternoon show to talk not about Barry or Chapman Plumbing, because he's doing another good thing, talking about Bolito plumbing supplies.
Yes, yeah. So Neil Fenter, the owner of Bolito Plumbing Supplies, is unfortunately he's not doing too well at the moment.
I'm sorry to hear that. What's wrong with him?
No, lower back issues and things. So he just asked me to please come in and come spread the love about Bolito Plumbing Supplies and the fantastic work that they do for us tradesmen.
Well, and it's an interesting thing, because I know from having a chat with Neil not too long ago that they do certainly support the tradesmen, as you say, but they're also available to the public.
100%.
And the prices are the same, which is amazing, because normally you get tradesmen's prices, a special, and then, you know, someone's got to pay retail, so that goes to the ordinary guy in the street, but not at Bolito Plumbing Supplies.
No, Bolito Plumbing Supplies is, I mean, they've been around for many, many years, going on the decades, and they've always been renowned as one of those suppliers that you know you can always get that thing that you can't find somewhere else.
You know what I find very interesting about the entire plumbing thing is that everyone, but barring almost no one that I can think of, has plumbing in their space, wherever they might live or work, there's plumbing. And it goes wrong, for sure. That's one of the facts of life. You know, death, taxes, and something's going to go wrong with your plumbing. And when it goes, it's not as if you can just put it on a hold and, you know, hang on. Your trade is kind of key critical to things carrying on as per usual, because it's always an emergency. When a drain blocks or a pipe bursts, it's an emergency. So you guys are at the forefront of, you must have seen some really exciting stuff.
Yeah, mind-blowing stuff. You know, I always stand up and I tell my fellow colleagues and plumbers and other plumbing companies in the area as well that, you know, us plumbers, tradesmen, we very, very important people. We bring life into a house by means of fresh water, and we take death out of a house by the means of sewerage, etc. So the life coming into your house is so important. If you've got a burst pipe or a leak or something like that, you've got to protect that asset that we have. Water, I mean, for example, in Durban, water, there's been sections of Durban that haven't had water for 8 or 9 days. And that there is the spot where you go, okay, maybe it's time now to let's put up a tank at home with a little bit of a water battery, a little reservoir at home, just to safeguard ourselves.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, and it'll tie in very nicely to the Bolito Plumbing Supply story, because I don't know whether you've been looking at the global picture or the South African global picture is particularly interesting, because we've been for a couple of years now experiencing abnormally strong or high rainfall, and that's the La Nina pattern. If you did geography at school, you'll realize it's got something to do with the oceans and the global temperature, etc., etc., and it brings extra rainfall. But then it reverses, and you might recall a good couple of years ago we had devastating drought, but the point where Bolito almost came to a standstill. They say, they who understand these things, we're going back into that pattern. The El Nino phenomenon is returning, and it's dry period is predicted, and it's predicted to be as bad, if not worse, than before, because there are more people taking more resources, and we have done a little bit of work to increase the supply at Hazelbeer, raising the wall, etc. But I think we're going to need to start saving water rapidly.
We're definitely going to need to do that. Ultimately, at the end of the day now, it's the same with people going with solar electricity. You need to safeguard your security, which is electricity and your water.
So what would you recommend? Because you're a practical guy and you understand what it takes to fit these kind of systems. What would you suggest that people listening to this start thinking about urgently?
So for me, the most important, most cost-effective thing to do right now is to just put a backup tank in with a little pump that gets topped up with municipal water. Moving on down the line, when you start harvesting rainwater and stuff like that, the cost price goes through the roof because you've got pre-filters and post-filters and sterilizers and all sorts of stuff like that.
So that water might be okay as grey water to look after the garden and top up the pool, that sort of thing, but not for drinking, not for human consumption.
No, yeah. So human consumption, you definitely, that you're either going to use your municipal water or you're going to put in a proper filter system and rainwater system.
Now, I just want to segue out of this conversation for a second to go to the municipal water supply. And you say that's what you use for drinking, and I agree with you, but a lot of folks say it's not safe. You can't drink the municipal supply. You've got to buy bottled water. What is your, I mean, you know what's happening.
So it's always a bit of a touchy subject, talking about the municipal water coming from our supplies. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the biggest thing that people complain about is the amount of chlorine in the water. And one needs to understand that when there are breaks in the infrastructure and they turn the system back on, there has been contaminants that have got into that water while they're working on it, so they need to sterilize the system. And that sterilization is done with a form of chlorine to keep it clean. So when you're talking about filtration and things like that at home, we're talking about a carbon filter, carbon KDF filter, and those filters are the ones that are taking out all your heavy metals and your chlorine tastes and things like that, and it really, really gives the water a wholesome taste to it. So that's kind of the way, municipal water with a carbon filter on it.
And is this relatively easy to retrofit if you haven't built it into your system already?
100%, yeah. So we've got clients where we go to Belito Plumbing Supplies and we'll get our filter systems from them, and we can put them directly after the water meter, feeding the whole property if that's their desire. Or we can designate a tap in a kitchen or in a basin where you can get the micro filters that are just off those little silver taps. Sometimes prep bowls, we will have a municipal water supply and then a filtered water supply on the same tap. So you would use the cold water side for your municipal side and then the hot water side, because most prep bowls have only got cold water in them. We would use the hot water side for the filtered side, so the client knows I'll turn it to that, the left hand side I'm getting filtered, and I'll turn it to the right hand side and I'm getting normal municipal water.
So even now, before we go into the water storage, you can protect the health and the wellness of you and your family by looking at a filter system that you can buy at Belito Plumbing Supply and get Chapman to fit.
100%.
There we go. Everyone's winning. That's why we love these conversations.
Yeah.
But getting back now to what's coming, and I predict that it is coming sooner than later. It's hard to say that, you know, we think it's going to be dry when you've had floods all over the country, particularly down the Cape. But this is typical. This is what happens. It's like belts down and then it shuts off.
What goes up's got to come down. Eh? Yeah. So have plenty rain high up, and now we got to watch out for the drop.
I think so. If you were to predict what is going to happen to the cost of the tanks and infrastructure when the problem becomes real, would you suggest that maybe it's a wise idea to dig the well, if you'll pardon the pun, before you thirst? Like, get involved now?
100%, because as soon as it hits that D-Day when water is run out and people need to start getting tanks and pumps and everything, it's going to become another supply and demand issue. And the prices are going to go through the roof. So if you've got a little bit of spare cash now and you've got space at home to do it, and we're talking, you know, anything from a 750-liter water tank up to 10,000 liters, depends on what space you have. But safeguard your own security, your water security, and put that infrastructure in.
And presumably, you mentioned the different sizes of tanks depending on space, but you would, rule of thumb, go for the biggest you can accommodate.
100%. The biggest tank you can put into your space, because, you know, the average person can reduce their water consumption into hard times. I think during the last droughts we were allowed 200 litres a day or something like that. You can do that. You can make a 5,000 litre water tank last you 3 to 4 weeks with absolutely no water feed to it if you are very conservative.
And can you, if municipal supply is limited and switches off, can you have a dual supply? In other words, because even in drought times, on the coast, you tend to get localized rainfall. That's just the way it is. Condenses off the sea. So could one have a dual harvesting system, a municipal in and a rainwater in, or would that be problematic?
100%. So we do hybrid systems very often. And the one benefit of a hybrid system is that when your municipal water does top up that rainwater, you get a little bit of sterilization from the chlorine that's in the municipal water as well. So that's one benefit of it. We use a special valve that goes into the tank that maintains a lower level of municipal water in the tank and leaves the rest of the tank going up for rainwater. And that, depending on your rain patterns and how much water you got, that level can be adjusted on that valve, whether you want 500 mils of water in your tank from municipal or fill the whole tank up with municipal. You can adjust it relatively easily as well.
And on the question of maintenance, is it a good idea to, during times where there is water supply, to maybe flush the tank, or can you let it stand?
So if it's just a pure municipal backup system, your water tanks, and that's a very important part about buying your tanks from a proper supplier like Belito Plumbing Supplies, where your tank, water tanks need to be black on the inside and no light penetration. So you have no growth of anything inside the tank. So if you're just doing a municipal water backup tank, there's no need for you to clean the tank out if it's a sealed off unit. When it comes to your rainwater system, it depends on your pre-filtration system that you've put into it to get rid of your leaves and sticks and stones and sand that blows on the roof and all of that stuff. But a rule of thumb, once every 2 years kind of thing, drain the tank, get inside, clean it out. It's something that we do as a service for our clients as well. Is, you know, climb in the tank. I don't fit anymore, but I've got some really handy staff that do. And we get in there and give it a good scrub down and a clean.
So even if you've got a system and you need to maintain it and get it fresh and ready for what's coming, it's a good idea to do a bit of maintenance on it now.
100%. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Now, getting back to Belito Plumbing Supply, because you're very kindly standing in for our friend Neil, who's not well. And hey, get better, my friend, if you're listening. I'm sure you are. You say they've got some specials on at the moment.
Yes, yeah. So just a handful of good things. They've got the 150-litre super hot geyser. So Super Hot is a new geyser manufacturer that's come out in the market in South Africa. They've been around for a couple of years, but they're really starting to make inroads into the market now. And their 150-litre geysers are coming in at 3599, excluding VAT, which is an unbelievable price considering your market competitors. And they come with very good warranties as well. It's also the 5-year, no hassles. They have service calls. They've got a very good backup.
Do you fit them?
We do fit them.
So
as
you,
well.
You would be able to recommend if you like this
brand.
Yes,
yeah, yeah. Now I've installed a number of them, and I've had no issues with them. So, and I've had a couple of phone calls where I've needed to phone the Oaks and ask them a question or two, because the geyser is slightly different to like the standard one that we've used over the years and years. And the guys were very efficient, answered all the questions, and we move forward. Yeah. So they've also got a Hunts Grower a sink mixer, the high spout, those nice ones where you can get a pot underneath it in the sink. And that's 1,995 rand.
Wow, that's really good. I believe that particular brand has almost a guarantee that if it doesn't work, they'll sort it out.
So their guarantee, if I'm not mistaken, is 12 years.
Yeah.
On the system, and I, from personal experience, have had clients that have had Hunts Grower mixers for 20 plus years.
Wow.
And we've logged service calls, and the guys have come out and honored a service call, even though it's 8 years out of warranty.
Extraordinary.
So you buy quality, you will be looked after. That's the big thing.
generally that's the thing. Hutgrub is Durgrub, as they say, and you know what that means? I don't think.
Yeah, 100%. And then for all the plumbers out there, my fellow friends, we've got 110mm sewer pipe, class 100, at 159 Rand ex VAT on per length, 6 meter length, which is a phenomenal price. And then the last two items is a 400 kPa quick hot valve, the new the plastic valve that they brought out in the market for 650 Rand, which is a giveaway. I don't know how they make the thing for that price.
Is that on the geyser?
That's your geyser regulating valve to balance the water throughout your whole house. Actually a very important item, you know, your taps and all sorts of components that get installed in your house need to have a pressure regulating valve on it to honor their warranties as well, so that there's no pressure spikes or any funny things.
And that all comes from the geyser.
Well, yeah, so the pressure valve gets mounted on your cold water supply coming into the house, and then from there tees off to your cold water taps and then up to the geyser, which is then reticulated around the rest of the house.
Okay, so there's a different valve on the geyser itself. That's a LATCO valve from what I can understand.
No longer anymore.
Oh, really?
So it's just, so the LATCO valve was basically the equivalent of the expansion valve, which is integrated into your pressure valve.
Okay.
And the expansion valve there is, if you're taking 150 liters of water at 25 degrees coming in, you're heating it up to 55 degrees, you've got expansion of the molecules. Mm. So the volume then increases by around 2 liters. It needs to go somewhere. So that's one of the understandings, is like people go, oh, my valve's dripping. Well, is it dripping constantly 24 hours a day, or is it intermittent? If it's intermittent, it's just during that heating cycle that it's the molecules and your volume's expanding from the heat, and then it stops after its heating cycle's over. So manufacturers say, depending on how many heating cycles you have in a system, between 2 and 15 liters of water a day can be discharged out of the expansion valve.
That's why it's got to be kept in tip-top condition, otherwise it expands into your ceiling.
Yeah. Keep it clean. Get it discharged outside in a place where it's not going to cause damage or anything like that. Put a watering can underneath it, a bucket, a banana tree, something. Go. Mint works very well.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, so from Belita Plumbing Supplies, Mike, thanks very much for the time to have a chat.
It's always, you know, it's a fascinating subject, and I'm glad we've had this opportunity. But we should do it regularly. I mean it. Plumbing, though, one tends to think of, you know, it's just one of those rather, you know, mundane. It's not at all. It's as you say, bringing life in, taking the other side out.
And well, maybe we can turn this into a bit of an interactive thing and get some of our listeners to send in some questions and stuff, and we can maybe try to answer them for them online.
That's a very good idea. Let's work on doing a regular, maybe once a month, maybe once a fortnight. Hey, we just work it out. See how much time you got, how much time you got available. But it'll be a good conversation.
100%.
My special guest, Barry Chapman from Chapman Plumbing. And the afternoon show. Oh, but before I go, I believe you've been boxing for charity.
Yes, I did do a boxing event for Sables Creatures. That was up in Joburg. We raised just over 9,300 Rand for them.
Wow.
And then we were in the Belito, the Battle of Belito, where myself and my brother were going to go up against each other. And unfortunately, for my brother, very lucky, I dislocated my shoulder. And so I'm out, and my brother's most relieved, because I think there was a lot of childhood anger pent up inside me from all the beatings I got from my older brother. So it was time to come back.
Well, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, couple of months' time, there's always another time. We'll be looking forward to that greatly.
No, 100%.
My special guest, Barry Chapman, he of Chapman Plumbing. They are the leak specialist, the drain specialist, and the geyser specialist. We'll catch up again, Barry, in a week or two's time. I look forward to that hugely. Here's John Cougar Mellencamp.